Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk To Podcast, hosted by author Sharnell Williams. Are you ready to spend some time with Sharnell and her special guest? Join our live conversation every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, here's your host, Sharnell Williams.
Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing this evening? Is everybody okay? How everybody doing this evening? I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Oh, I see you. I see you. I see you. Tell you a little bit about myself. Author Sharnell Williams, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. I'm an author, a publisher. As y'all see, I host my own podcast, Let's Talk To Podcast. And I just want to let everybody know, if you haven't registered for Yana 2022, get your tickets now. Go register today. Let's go. Register. And if you want, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are just beginning, I don't care if you're just starting your business, I'm doing a swag bag for $20. If you have any items like pens, up to 100 items, like pens, bookmarks, business cards, and you want to put in my bag, my swag bag for Yana 2022, you can do so. Just inbox me or DM me or message me. Plus, I'm doing a journal for my event, which be held on May the 7th in Newark, New Jersey at NJIT. For those who don't know, that's a college in Newark, New Jersey. And the journal, I think it's a half a page is $55 and a page is $75. So if you would like your business posted in my journal, inbox me, DM me, or message me. So, again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this lovely day. It's nice outside. It's real nice outside. Real nice. So I want to bring my special guest in. LaQuisha Malone is my special guest today, and she's going to come on. She's going to tell everybody what she got new, what's going on with her. She's going to tell everybody about her businesses, what she's trying to do. Well, I ain't even going to say try. What's she going to do? That's how I'm going to phrase it. What's she going to do? So I just want everybody to, if you want to have any questions, just call in at 563-999-3573, and I'm surely she will take your question, answer your questions. One second, y'all. Yeah. Let me see. Put on LaQuisha. One second. Hello, lady.
Hey. Can you hear me well?
Hey. Yes. How you doing?
Okay. I'm good.
It's like kind of strange because you've been on my show so many times, and me and you always talk. So So I'm just going to let you introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, wow, yes. Yeah. So my name is LaQuisha Malone, as she stated. I'm also an author, and I have books. I have courses that I teach now. I had a magazine. I also help people publish their books. And I'm a mother, one of my pride things I take pride in. And I guess that's pretty much it. Pretty simple. I help people write and publish their books.
Yeah, it's LaQuisha, like I just said, you know, me and her talk all the time, so I already know a lot about her, but y'all gonna get to know her this evening on Let's Talk To Podcast. Okay, y'all ready? Okay, LaQuisha, let's start with at you being an author first. How did you get started in writing, and what was the reason why?
Ooh, okay, so writing is something that I can't say I've done as far back as I can remember. I'm an 80s baby, so I can remember the Disney Gold Spine books, and I used to sit there and take the yellow notepads, like the big ones, and I would rewrite those stories. I would write them and then rewrite it with, like, my own little spin or my little take on it. And I used to mail those to my grandmother way back then. So I was super young doing that. And then I started writing in school. I would write out my thoughts and how I felt into, like a journal. And instead of just writing down day one, this is how I felt, I was writing it as a story between me and my friends, like what we would do on days that stood out to me. And so it read like a story. And so it was no one particular day. I would just start writing, like, this is the next chapter in the book. And it was all about me and my friends. And I went from that to mostly writing poetry for a little while in my middle school, high school times, and then I went back to writing stories. And I had a friend of mine from Atlanta tell me that, you know, you should publish this. And I'm like, yeah, right. Nobody from where I live publishes a book. I never heard about it, you know. And people were telling me, oh, you have to live in, like, New York or go to California to do something like that. Like, there's no way you can publish a book. So I let their fears subject to me and would tell my friend the same thing. Everything that other people told me, I'm like, no, I can't do that. Look at where I live. No, I can't do that. I have to move. You know, these are the things I'm telling him. And he's like, no, like, your poetry is really good. You should publish it, whatever, whatever. So I fantasized about the idea of, like, creating little fake book covers for myself, little stuff like that. And I told my mom what I was trying to do, and she found this lady named Shania Green Dowdell, who I tell everybody is my hero. And she put us in touch with each other, and Shania was telling me all about the publishing game, you know, everything to do, and she was self-published out to herself, and I had read her book before I even knew who she was, as far as talking to her. And so from there, she was like, I'm just going to tell you how to do it, and she told me how to do it, and that's how I got started writing and got into publishing, and that was 2008 when I published my first book.
Wow. So ever since then, you've been writing.
Yeah, I took everything that people was telling me negatively, and I was like, I never want my daughter to do what I did, to take what people tell you and think that is it for you, you know. And I heard someone say about that later on in life, that, you know, people will subject their fears onto you. You know, and that's the problem. It's not that them telling you that you can't, you can't do that. It's not that you can't do it. They don't believe that they can do it. So they're going to tell you that it's something you can't do. And so I said, I'm going to go after whatever I want to do. And I'm going to do it that way, because I have my daughter, and I'm like, I don't ever want somebody to look at her and tell her that she believe it. You know, I was like, I want her to look at them and reply back with, I can do whatever I want to do. Look at what my mother has done. You know, that's
right,
what I want.
Right. That's a true statement, what you just said, because a lot of people tell you you can't do this and you can't do that. And I say you turn the negatives into the positive, and you show them wrong. Because it's like you said, where you from? Nobody never written or nobody, but people write all, now that you know this, because I know you know this now.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You can live in the woods and write a story and publish it. So,
oh yeah.
So it's just that, you know, now, and people always, like, I still get that too. Well, Shana, why are you doing that? This, why are you doing that? You know, because I want to. If I live your dream, what about my dream? You understand what I'm saying? How are you going to live somebody else's dream if you don't even live your own dream? So
work at that every day. You have to work at that every day to not let those negative things affect me as much. And they do, and you know me, so you know that. You're definitely one of the people in my life that's telling me, Quisha, forget about what people are saying, you know, things like that. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to decipher sometimes whenever it's something you really fear, or if it's something that's just been projected on you for so long to where you begin to believe it yourself. So it's a struggle every day to even though I've done a lot, it's still a struggle to do every little thing that I'm doing because I do have people who will tell me that, oh, you should be doing this, but it is, especially when they find I was doing things, you know. You know, I have a magazine, people tell me that they think I should put more of my time and attention into that instead of my own book.
Let me ask you this question, Quisha, because I notice every time people tell you, and I'm speaking in generally, people tell you how to run your business, what to do, and they don't even have, like the lady told me, why you got that girl on your radio show? It was a girl, she was a, what you call it, she wrote like, I can't say the word, it won't come out, my erotic books or whatever. And that she was saying, don't have her on your show. Yeah, she was saying, don't have her on your show. But that's what I don't get. How could somebody tell you what to do, how to do it, when they ain't even doing it? Do you see what I'm saying? They ain't even doing it. So how are they going to tell you what to do? So that just kills me. I don't understand that.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing, you know. Getting over into actually following your dream. And for me, you know, I don't know much about team building. It's really hard to do that because I don't trust a lot of people. And it's kind of hard to do that and stuff like that. So I will kind of shut down on that. But, you know, you do have people who will tell you what they think that you should be doing versus how you feel. And I also believe that there's times in your career, you know, sometimes you go so far in one thing and it's time to move to something different. Even if it's just for a little while, like, it's time. Sometimes, you know, you have people that tell you, you know, you shouldn't do this, you should be doing that, you should. And nobody knows, that's a pet peeve of mine, because I feel like nobody knows the hardship that you go through when you're trying to do different things. Nobody knows what your deepest desire is, whether it's because I'm doing this because you told me I should, and I realize, like, man, this is what I really want to do, you know? You know, so I can tell you, it's a struggle for me, a lot, because even though I've done a lot, I still get the same, you can't do that or you shouldn't do that. I still get that. And it's like, man, I don't want awards and everything. Like, I can tell you what I can do.
Yeah, well, you know, Charnell don't pay nobody that attention. I don't get them that much energy to them tell me what I can't do and what I'm going to do, because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you do something with somebody, like, you can't please everybody, so why try?
Oh, yeah.
Why try? Oh, you know, you can't please everybody. So, you know, go for what you do. And I always tell you this, do it. Do it.
Yeah, you do.
You understand what I'm saying?
You don't tell me that. You get on to me. You get on to me about that. You be frustrated with me.
Because you can't.
But I love
you
for it.
Thank you. If you listen to everybody telling you you can't, where would you be at today?
Oh, yes. I know that. That's the thing. I know that. And then it's probably coming from me also as a people pleaser, too. You know, it's kind of hard to let people down and put others before me. This is a thing, you know. This is a thing that's about me.
Oh, you should, because I think I'm about to come out with a Charnell energy drink, a Say No energy drink, because you need to
do it. You know,
say
no. I can't say no. It's so hard.
I know you can't say no. Like, say no. Like, you gotta do it, because that's when you don't say no. That's when you realize, like, people is, like, taking advantage of you, because they know how can I say this? People learn you. They know what you're about. They come on to you, so they know how you operate. And then
some people know you better than
LaQuisha,
you know,
can't say no. LaQuisha can't say no. Let me call LaQuisha, because she ain't going to say no to me. You understand what I'm saying? It's okay to say no. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, you'll be shocked at
some
of the things that come to me, and people say, you know, things like, I'm not trying to pay you or anything like that, or you know, I don't want to pay you. And it's like, wait, what? I do charge for this service. You know that, right? Or they'll say, I've already been burnt by somebody else who did this, that, and the third, and I'm not going to sit here and pay you. And I'm like, wait, I don't know. Tell them I didn't do it, you know. Or they'll say things like, I need you to do this, that, and the third. But it's not like you're doing this for me, so I'm not trying to pay you because you're not doing this part of it. You're doing that. And you know me, girl, it's hard for me to say no, because I'm like, I do want to see you succeed. I do want to. And it's so hard to say no sometimes. You're like, you got to tell them no.
You got to tell them no, because I'll be your voiceover for you. This somebody to call you, just click no, it's okay, no, and click them off. Because sometimes you gotta, you gotta learn. Because people, they gonna hate you, they gonna love you. You can't please them. Then if you don't do nothing free for them, then they gonna talk junk about you. But let it go.
Oh God,
you know?
Yeah.
It definitely
happens that way too.
Yeah, you can't worry about them. Just do your thing. Do your thing. But now, how many books have you written?
Oh, my God. I was trying to figure it out myself because I know that I've gotten into journaling, you know. And it's really weird because when I got into journaling, I was so excited about my journal. I heard people saying that you're not a real author if you're putting out journals. Like, who does it? And I was like, you know, I'm just going to put my journals out. I see people out here and they're putting journals out and they're making money. And I've always want to do it. But, of course, you can't be a real author if you're putting out a journal. So I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it because I want to do it. And so because I got into the journaling, if I add all that together, girl, I can't even think right now. I used to know my numbers before all that happened. I don't know.
I don't know either. And that's sad. And you know what? To make it so sad, like when authors used to come on my show probably like a couple of years ago and they'd be like, oh, I don't know. And I used to always be like, oh, they just showing off or something. But now I'm in that position because a lady asked me the other
like,
day, how many books? I was like, I don't know. I got to let you know count. But back then I was like, oh, you know, they being ignorant. They just want to, you know, show off how many books. How you going to forget how many books that you read? And I just want to say I apologize to all the authors that I was thinking that because now I do that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's kind of hard because if you count every piece of thing that you do, you know. I'm on my website now, and I'm trying to count. And I'm already at like 10, 11, 12. I don't know. It could be 15. But I'm counting, and that's including digital products, you know, digital books I have, things I got to help authors, and my children's books. Like, all that stuff is there. Like, what all have I done?
Right, you've done it all, and you ain't even. You know what? And you got far because you ain't even say you ain't take no or you can't. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
You ain't take
excuse
not to do what you want to do.
When it comes to my books, no, I don't. But when it comes down to other endeavors to take chance on, I will second guess. And that's when you come to me and be like, I'm like, Chanel, you free? Can you talk? We'll talk, and I'll tell you, like, no, you're not going to not do that. You better get out there.
Yeah,
I think I call you for that advice, too. That's why I do it so much. I'm like, I mean, I know that because we're friends, and that's I'm using you for your advice, but I know that you're a very strong individual in that area, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Thank you. And you know what? And I'm so glad because a lot of my friends tell me that they call me for advice, and I tell them how I feel because – I wouldn't be your friend if I say, no, Keisha, don't do that. Like, something you really want to do, why would I stop you for following your dream that you want to do? You know, everybody should try. Everybody should go left sometime. You understand what I'm saying? Don't listen to all that naysayer in your ear because that confuses you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm
saying?
And it's
so weird because
I can't.
Yeah, you told me to take that out of my vocabulary last time.
it's really
weird because I can sit there and tell somebody the exact same thing. Because, you know, in the beginning, when we first you know, met via social media, you know, I would, if you listen to me talk like that, like I was talking to you about your publishing company and everything you're doing, I would be that way. I can tell it to you, but I have to... It's hard for me to say it to myself and mean it
for
a long period of time.
Yeah, you gave me good advice.
Yeah, I can say it to myself and I can believe it. But then somewhere along the line, I'm like, and I think I told you, I'll look at myself and I'll say, nah, who am I to do what I'm trying to do right now? Like, who is that person? And I know where that comes from. That comes from people who have said that. Like, who are you to do that? And I've heard that.
Yeah.
Man, like, what do you mean, who am I? And then I think, like, well, how can I explain to you who I am to make to convince you that I can do this? And it wasn't for me to convince to them. It was for me to do it myself and show
convince
them.
Convince yourself.
Yeah. I can do this.
Yeah.
It ain't about who I am.
Yeah.
It's about my passion in this, what I believe in. Because one thing about me is I'm going to research. I'm going to study my craft. You know, I'm not just going to go on whim. if I do something, trust me, I've been studying it behind the scenes. I have been doing my research and, you know, playing with it a little bit for myself. It may not be perfect, but it's going to get out there because I took the time to study my craft. So, yeah, that's
right.
Who I am.
Right. And ain't nothing perfect. Nothing ain't perfect. I think I had to tell my grandson something about, we were talking about perfect, something about him being mm-hmm. perfect. And I was like, oh, no, ain't nobody in this world perfect. You know
nobody,
what I'm saying?
Nobody.
You know, and I don't want to put that in your head that you're perfect because I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. Ain't nobody perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody
mm-hmm.
messed up. Everybody, you know, has something on them that is not perfect about them. You understand what I'm saying? So ain't nobody perfect in this world. So I don't even believe it. That's another word that's out my vocabulary. ain't nobody perfect. But you know, you over the years, I don't even know when I met you. Like over the years,
it's been
on
so long
social
though.
Media. Yeah, it's been so long ago. And like we always talking, like chit chatting all the time. But
mm-hmm.
it's just that, you know, you gave me some good advice about my publishing company, about my about my clients. You know, you done gave me some good, like, some good advice and what should I do and what shouldn't I do. So I thank you for that. I thank you for, you know, being there. If I need to call you, just like you need to call me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm free. Yeah, I'm free. Come on, because I know you got something troubling when you be like, Chanel, is you free?
Yes, I probably have been pondering with it for like so long, and I'm like, look, let me just hear her in my ear for a second.
But yeah, so your book, you've been in a couple of my anthologies. How many anthologies you been on? My two, three?
Oh,
you been in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either, and I'm not
three.
Playing.
Hold on, girl, I got my
I'm
book.
Not
okay,
playing.
I think it's like three. I got three of them I'm looking at right now. So, you know, we got the other one coming up. So that'll be four.
Oh, yes, y'all. If y'all haven't got a Mother's Day Nightmare, did I say it right? Because sometimes I be forgetting the own titles.
And that happens, you know. But, yes, it's a Mother's Day Nightmare. Book one, if they hadn't got it, to go get it because we are working on part two.
That's right. We're
getting
working on
out.
Part two. That's right. So you've been in an anthology. I think my first anthology was, and I love that book. And I'm not going to say that
me
I don't
too.
Love all my anthologies, but Love, Marriage,
that
and
was the
Divorce.
First.
That was
that
my
was
first
baby.
One. Yeah, that was the first one. And I remember Elma Thomas when she was writing her mm-hmm. own script. I'm going to always remember that. And she was like, you sure you ain't talking about yourself? She was like, no, I'm not talking about myself. But her story in Divorce was so real. Was it Divorce? Yeah, Divorce.
Oh, it was.
Was so, like you would have thought it was her. It was happening to her. Like, that was so real. And all of y'all did such an amazing job for my first anthology. And that's why I loved it. I'm about to put out, after this one we're doing now, I'm about to put out another one. I want to put out another one. So I just love doing anthologies. But you as an author, you done been an author. You hosted your own blog. What can I say? Blog or radio show. You did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Your magazine. Let me
I've
see.
Done
what else?
Publishing.
Self-publishing. Wow, you got a long list of hats. Let me ask you a question because
I know you.
Now you're a coach. Give it up for you because now you're a coach. But let me ask you a question. We're going to talk about coaching in a minute because you got something special going out for the writers. But let me ask you this about your you do so much. Do you ever go on a dog on vacation? And I
forgot
to ask you that one day we were talking on the phone. Like, you don't ever go nowhere and relax.
No,
like
I
you
don't.
Work a 9 to 5,
to.
Then you work on your own project. Like you work.
I do. I've done it for so many years to where when I come home, I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. And I feel like I am incomplete. So I do something.
Mm-hmm.
I come home, I got to work, and I have to take care of my daughter, my household, and I sit down. And, I mean, there have been times, man, I've been up and didn't get a lick of sleep before headed to my regular job every day. And I'm, like, super sleepy. And then I come home, do it all over again. I may not stay up active, but it's still 1, 2 o'clock in the morning before I go to bed, and I'm just working on stuff, whatever ideas come to my mind, whether I'm researching for the day and taking notes, whether I'm planning out any kind of, you know, content, emails, ideas of something that I've learned on how to help somebody else. I mean, whatever. I'm just always trying to, you know, be better than my last thing I did, you know.
Yeah, you have to. That's a must. You got to do better than what you did the day before or yesterday.
But I need a vacation.
Or whatever. But, yeah, you do need a vacation because you work hard. You work hard. Every time I see you posting, you're doing this, you're talking on the phone, you got ideas. Like your brain don't shut down unless you're sleeping, I guess. And I guess you'd be dreaming about work. I don't know. But
you know, and that's real crazy because sometimes I do. Because sometimes
I'm
sleeping and I'm like, I cannot sleep at all. So I get up. Not too long ago, I was sleeping and I was working on something so hard. I ain't gonna lie, I was working on it. I was like, I gotta get through this step before I can do anything else. I'm just that person to where I gotta be satisfied with what I started or what I'm doing to move on to something else. And it's just not complete or perfect. I gotta be satisfied with what I've done. And I was like, couldn't get this together, and I literally went to sleep, and it's like God put it in my dream, and he gave me step by step. I woke up shocked. I was like, man, when you and I kept praying about it, and I'm like, man, if you pray about something, that God gives you a step by step process in your dream, and it's clear, it's vivid, and I remembered it the next day. So when I did it, it worked. I was like, that's what I needed to do, and I was able to move on from there, but it was just on to the next thing, you know? On to the next thing.
And that's crazy because some people don't even remember your dream, they dreams. You know, some people don't even remember. some people don't even remember because I remember I was going through trying to find names for my characters, and I dreamed about, I was watching a TV show, and I dreamed about it, but I didn't write it down. And in the morning, I woke up, I was like, damn, what was that name? But I didn't write it down. So...
I also love characters too, and I'm trying to come up with a little, especially with the course I have going on, we're trying to come up with different ways, you know, they can make it helpful for people. And one thing that I look at is social media, the World Wide Web is a perfect spot to me. I see names all the time coming through the internet or coming through some sort of social media platform. And I'm telling you, I write that stuff down. Man, your name is unique. I like it. Man, that name is, I know that name, but, oh, man, it feels like a character. I'm writing it down. So for me, I lean on social media to write down different character names I can use for later. Like, y'all be having unique names, unique spellings of old names. Like, oh, I like that.
Do you ever have characters talk to you?
All the time. It's a beautiful thing. You know, it's a real beautiful thing. And I even go so far as when I'm trying to really get a clear picture of what they're saying, I try to put myself in the situation. So if the conversation's happening in the kitchen, I go to my kitchen, and I'm like, okay, I know my kitchen don't look like this kitchen, but where are you standing? Ooh, right over there. And we have a conversation, you know, and then I'm like, darn it, where is your person in the room with? Where he at? Where she at? Where they at? And I just see it all unfold. And I just sit there, and I'm like a camera, like, let's watch, let's go right. Who said what next? You know? I'll go right there to the room just to see, just so I get a better, you know, image of what the characters are doing and saying in my head, because I got to place myself in there, you know what I'm saying?
Because
if I don't, I go to bed, and then they're going to talk to me all night.
See, I don't have that issue. I don't have the issue, but I understand because a lot of authors tell me that their characters talk to them. But I don't have that issue. Let me ask you a question. We're going to talk about what you're doing in a minute, but, you know, since I'm an author and a publisher, I have to, and I see a lot of my authors and clients listening, I want to ask you this question about art. How important it is to edit your work? Writing as an author.
Writing and editing as an author?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Just to get it edited is what you're asking me?
Yes.
I'm a firm believer. I mean, like 100%. I mean, we can go to 110%. You must get your book edited. Like, period. Like, you really can't skip that step. And I say this because, especially looking at as many new authors as there are today, and then seeing the reviews from diehard readers, and not their readers, but these are just diehard readers who read and they understand books. You know what I'm saying? And when you have, and I also dealt with this myself when I had my publishing company and you know, things like this, and dealing with different editors and trying to figure things out. You have to get your book edited, but you also have to find the right editor for you, because just because a person is an editor doesn't mean they edit in your genre. And if there's any editor out there that tells you, "Oh, I edit every genre under the sun," don't go. Every editor has a group or a collection of genre that they specialize in, but not every editor can edit every genre. And but besides that point, I say find an editor for your piece of work, and then find a type of editor who I would say that fits you, because some editors are like, no, this is how I do it. I don't care how you do it about your vision. This is what it should do. And say if that's not the type of editor you want, find one that does what you do, but also would listen to you to make your vision come to life. At the same time, will keep the rules in place. At the same time, so you're learning. You know, I'm a firm believer at trying to find me an editor who will teach me, you know, because as an author, you should always want to be better than your last book. You should never want to say, okay, I didn't get my first one edited, so I'm not going to get my second one edited. No, what do I have to do to make sure I follow the rules and get this all in place? Because there is such thing as if you are a fiction author and you're writing about characters and space and time and events and things like that, a real life thing, but it's something from your imagination that coincides with things you've been through, then you need somebody who's going to teach you how to articulate that with the rules of the game. And of course, rules are meant to be bent and broken and things like that, but you need to find somebody who knows how to do that. And then there's so many authors who have these negative reviews, and it's like the story was all over the place or the characters weren't well developed. A lot of people don't even know what that means. You know, what does it mean when they say that, you know, my character's developed? What do they mean by that? Some people are saying the book is all over the place. Well, when they say your book is all over the place, what do they mean by that? And you have a good editor who can edit in your genre, okay, understand the game, and then they teach you what different things mean. Then you'll understand about story flow and transitions and how to develop plot and how to develop your characters and how to develop the story in the best way, if that makes sense. Editing, for me, is definitely a thing that I don't think people should take lightly, because it's going to be one of the most expensive parts of the publishing process is your editing. And don't find an editor who, oh, I can have your book back to you in 3-4 days. I can get you back to your editing version back to you in a week or 2 weeks. If your book needs some extensive work, it's just going to take a little longer. Be okay with that. You know, some authors, you know, have studied the craft enough to know and work with enough editors and writers to know different things of how to convey a story, you know, following the rules or whatever. But and they might not need as much editing as the next person. So, you know, I think that I only said it because I hear a lot of people say, you know, oh, if an editor says it takes a month or two to get through that project. I mean, how do you not know that that book don't need extensive editing? And that's not a short story. You know what I'm saying? This is like a 40, 50, 60, 70,000 word book. You know what I'm saying? These are not going to take 2-3 days, a week, 2 weeks. And I've heard people say that. You know, they take too long to edit. I mean, you should be okay with someone really going through your work and making it the best that's going to sound for your readers and for its genre. Because just because you're an urban fiction author or a romance author, like, you have a genre of readers who understand this craft better than you know. You know? So, yeah, if you can't tell, I think editing is, like, the top thing you should do.
Now, how do you feel about somebody editing their own work?
It's a must. I think you must edit your own work. I think that before you send your book to the editor, because I'm not omitting
editor
at all.
No, that's what I'm saying. No,
Oh, you're talking about, that's 0% to me. Like, you shouldn't do that. And the only reason I say that is because it's good to self-edit your own work. You need to self-edit. Mm-hmm. You need to revise. You need to clean up anything that that you go back through after you've written it and mm-hmm. see there's mistakes. Because if your first draft is going to have mistakes, your second draft is going to have mistakes. It's going to be there, you know. And so, but to say I'm going to edit my work and take the editor out, personally, this is me, I don't believe that you should do that. Only for the simple fact is mm-hmm. you know what you're trying to say. So you're going to miss things. There's going to be marks that you're going to miss because when I read it, I know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. When I read it, I read it 5 times and I still looked over the fact I forgot that whole word because I knew what I was trying to say. I read it a million mm-hmm. times and I forgot that, I mean, I didn't see the fact that when I wrote sale, S-E-L-L, I was trying to say S-A-L-E. But when I read my story 50 million times, I still saw the word I needed, even though it was written wrong. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And I only say that because that's happened to me a lot of times writing and me noticing my own mistakes. I'm like, dang, I didn't even see that myself. And mm-hmm. noticing that, you know, it can go there. And I'm like, man, I didn't see that. I had an editor edit one of my books one time. And, oh, man, I hate that she don't edit anymore. Bomb editor's me. And she, there was something I was putting throughout my book. And she said, every time, she said, I don't know what this phrase means. What are you trying to say? What does this phrase mean? And so I wrote her back, you know, because she's one of the editors who does multiple rounds. And I would say get an editor who does multiple rounds included in their packaging because you need it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so, and then after you're done with all that, get you some proofreaders. But she was like, you keep using this, but I have no clue what you're saying. And I told him, like, well, you know, from where I'm from, this is how we, this is what we say, this is what we mean. And that's the only mm-hmm. way I can articulate that in this manner. And she said, well, I'm up north, way up north. And she was like, I still don't see how what you said correlates with what you're trying to tell me now. And she said, and she gave me advice, and she said it wasn't, she didn't tell me I must change it. She gave me advice. And she was like, you need to think about your readers. You know what I'm saying? And she said, mm-hmm. if you're going to use this, she was like, find a way to convey it to where it's understandable. In that sense, so you can get an idea. Because I had no idea. And I'm like, I thought she knew what I was saying. It was like a 2-3-word little phrase I would use over and over, not like a mm-hmm. lot, but different parts throughout the book. And she just really couldn't understand how what I said. I'm like, but when I let people around here read it, like they know me and is in this area, they didn't know me, but from where I worked at before, it was like a lot of people. So I let different people on the job just read my stuff. Everybody knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know,
because that was where
you
was from. Like,
exactly.
I noticed everybody, like, when I had this editor, she was in California. And she was like, oh, no, you don't do it like that. Because everybody talked differently. Every state, everybody, the West Coast, the East Coast, everybody talked mm-hmm. differently. Like, where you live at, everybody understand your talk. Where I live at, everybody understand my talk. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's
And what she was telling me was, don't take it out. Just make it plain way understand. You know, so a different culture or a different person can understand what that means going forward. Like, she told me in the very beginning when I said, I need to make it plain that when I say this, every time they read that from here on out, they understand what I'm saying. And I thought, mm-hmm. I understand that. That makes a lot of sense. Now, me personally, have to throw that book up there. I probably had a lot of people like, I don't even understand what this woman is trying to say. The book is just not making sense to me. And I have seen that happen to people all the time. And people get offended. You know, I've seen a lady review a book, and the review wasn't good. It wasn't bad, but it sure enough wasn't good because the reviewer didn't like the flow of the book. It wasn't well written. And so the comment was, you know, oh, my God, you just hurt a new author's feelings. And I was like, that's just going to happen, first of all. We can't be worried about our feelings when it comes down to book reviews because one person may like something, the other person may not. But at the same time, you know, I'm not saying anything was wrong with what the book did or what the reviewer did because I haven't read the book. But, I mean, that the way I saw it as, you know, especially when I get negative feedback about things, I'm like, oh, okay, let me first take this in. Okay, my feelings a little touched, but let me take this in consideration. What are you trying to tell me? Because for my next project, I got to get better. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, the review wasn't bad. It was criticism. I don't know if it was very. The person would rather have been personally emailed or written about it, but instead they publicly put on a review for Amazon. But the thing was, look at those negative reviews when you do get them, and figure out, is this something that means I can get better at? You know.
But it's I understand where you're coming from. But a lot of people write how they talk. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people, I'm one of them. You know, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
A lot of people write how they talk. And I don't think, you know, it do make a little sense because I remember my friend was telling me, Chanel, you got to change your phrase. You got to do this. You can't do that. Because a lot of people ain't going to understand you, especially with if they're not from where you're from.
Well, I don't think you should change the phrase. I think you should do like my editor told me. Keep it, but give that explanation somewhere without, you don't, because you know when you write, you don't have to say, oh, this is what this means. But she said, when you say that, give them that description better where when they read it, they understand. And I'm trying to think of a story where I've done that before and reading someone's story. I'm like, I don't even know what the heck that means. But from the context clues inside of the paragraph or inside of that page, I was able to pick up and figure out what that meant. And that's what she was telling me to do. She wasn't telling me to take it out because it's just how I talk in the South. But she was like, you need something in here that's going to make it to where people like me who don't understand this, when we read it, you're giving us enough context clue to what we understand it going forward. So when I see that language, I understand it, you know. So I don't think you should take it out, you know, because people won't understand yourself. I think you should just give them context clues that can help them out.
Let me ask you this. Name two of your favorite authors, living or deceased. Only two, LaQuisha. Only two.
All right. If I could say two off the top of my head right now, definitely I'm a Carl Weber fan. And I am a Nikki Turner fan. I love Nikki Turner. So those will be my top two I could think of today off the top of my head. I'm a huge fan of theirs.
Okay. All right. So now we done got rid of the author. We done talked about author. We done talked about a lot. Now we're going to talk about what are you doing today? What you got on your calendar? What's new going on with you? Coach LaQuisha Malone. Let's get into coaching.
Well, coaching is something and it's weird because coaching is definitely something I have been doing for years, right? And I didn't even know it was a thing that I was doing. I was mostly doing it one-on-one with people, helping people, you know, in my free zone, you know. And I would help so many people in my free zone, and then they go and pay somebody else for a similar service, and they come back and say, hey, Quisha, you know, I paid this lady to publish my book, and then this is what happened, and this is what happened. And I remember you were telling me blah, blah, blah. And then they come to me and don't want to pay me. So I'm like, because they've been burned. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and so I was like, man, I've been doing this for a long time. And then when I started seeing that it was a thing that you could literally do, like helping people, I'm like, man, let me tap into this because I love to help. I tell people that no matter what I'm involved in, like it gives me like a great joy to help authors fulfill their dreams, learn something, get better. I'm always in that mode of trying to teach, you know, wanting to be a teacher. I was little. And so back in 2022, this was probably 2014, 15, something like that, right before my magazine, I wanted to get in coaching and stuff like that. And so I found a couple of programs, and I was like, well, you know what? I can do a magazine, and this could help authors further. Well, all these years later, I realized nobody really reads those magazines, you know, so it's a little different. So in 2020, I went back to my courses I was trying to create for coaching programs and things like that. It wasn't going to be a course, it was like a webinar, a workshop type thing. And I was like, how can I stretch this out to make a course? And I did that in, like, 2015. I reconstructed it 2019, 2020, and I just released it last year. So, yes, coaching to help writers and authors. I'm not doing anything in the marketing and publishing part yet, even though that's where I help people at a lot as well. I want to help people in the beginning process, you know, like, when mm-hmm. they ask you that question, I want to write a book, but I don't know where to start. You know, that's a true thing. That's a real thing. And mm-hmm. then it's like, you know, I got all this information. I'm four chapters in. I'm 1,200 words in, and, you know, I'm 12 pages in, and I'm just, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm like, man, I don't want mm-hmm. you to give up on that dream. Please don't give up. Like, let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to take my coaching in that direction. So right now I'm only offering to help people perfect their writing. And it's not like an English, you know, type thing. Like I'm telling you like grammar and I'm teaching you how to plan and plot your novel. Like, let's get it out of your head first. Before we can think of all that other stuff, let's get it out of our heads, you know. So I done got really, really good at the outlining. And, like, you know, I told you I study and research my craft. So mm-hmm. I've always did, like, little light outlining. But now I've gotten more involved in outlining. And the process is a beautiful thing that I feel like a lot of African-American people are not doing. And with mm-hmm. my research, the few African-American people, whether they're self-published or not, that I see doing these type of outlines are successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's because of marketing and promoting strategy. It's because of the well-written, planned-out storyline, right?
Now,
I think a mm-hmm. lot of people who write without planning are missing.
Now, let me ask you a question. For people, because you say an outline, for people that don't know what an outline is, could you explain that?
Yes. A lot of people hear when I say or I see people online talking about, oh, my God, I got a writer's block. It's a real thing. I go through it. Oh, my God, I'm stuck in my story. I don't know where to finish. I don't know how to end it. And I say, hey, why don't you try an outline? And he said, no, I don't do no outline. Or, I haven't tried it. I don't do that. I am not talking about your English class outline. I call them, you know, a novelist outline, like an outline you would use for novel base. And these things are everywhere. People have been doing them for years. It's just, you know, us, we are not hip to it, some of us, you know what I'm saying? And so I tell people, I'm not talking about that bullet point and those MLA, whatever that is. I'm not talking about any of that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about a real outline where you would go through and develop. This is where the developing of your characters come in. This is before you even write that book. You know, you're doing mm-hmm. your character interviews, character building their profiles. You are doing your plot, you know, outline of that. You are outlining your acts and your to develop the story. You know, and this goes from your hooks to your turning points, the first stage, second stage, and then the second act when you have, you know, stakes and things like that going on. It's like, well, some people don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm like, look, before I got into it, I didn't know what I was talking about. Like, I didn't know what mm-hmm. this stuff meant. But when I start seeing and researching what's going on and I start looking at other people and how with the writing, looking at myself, I'm like, man, try it out. This is working. It's easy. It's fast. It's what I used when I did A Mother's Day Nightmare with you. It's what I used on mm-hmm. another book I have. And then what I'm also doing with the whole process is taking older stories I've written I haven't published, and I'm working them into this outline. You know what I'm saying? To mm-hmm. see how, you know, is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything I can clean up? Anything that I need to add? You know, because back then, I had a story I just started writing. I didn't know anything about planning my story, plotting my story. And I can say the first time I got into it was during NaNoWriMo, my very, very first mm-hmm. year at NaNoWriMo. I had no idea. When they talk about planning your book and stuff, I'm like, yeah, I done wrote out my summary. You know, I got ideas out. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was it, you know, and I done figured a few things out. You know, things are developed in my eyes, but when I started, like, they do camps and stuff like that, and they even have you practice and check in your area, but NaNo is, like, so big past the United States. You know, they have regions and different countries have people, but you have meetups and groups you can go to. And these folks teach mm-hmm. you how to outline your story. And I got into that, and I went to my first meeting, and I was like, I'm hooked. And these folks are mm-hmm. people who are award-winning NaNoWriMo people who've written books for these people, and they ain't self-published and, you know, are traditionally published, but these folks are doing it. And I'm like, man.
Mm-hmm.
And to listen to them talk about it, I was like, I got to get into this. Because my first time, I was so out of place, because I'm like, I never heard of this before. You know, and it was kind of hard because at the time I was the only black person in the whole group, and I'm like, I felt very odd and out of place, I won't lie. And they were talking about things I had never heard of as an author because I thought I was doing the doors of the job. And then, you know, so I started learning about outlining, and these past few years I've been really getting more and more into it, and I'm like, man, we need to at least know about this and what it does for you. And I know I had saw one girl who writes serial stories, you know, these little stories where it might have 12 books to it, but each book can stand by itself, you know, so it wasn't like cliffhangers or nothing. And she was talking about how the beginning of that serial for her, what the struggle was like. You know, the books are good, but she said once she learned about outlining and the process, she said it takes her less time to write her books, and her characters and her whole book is way more developed. Her editor has seen a growth in her writing from just planning and plotting. And she said that can take, you know, it's in different stages. It can take you hours to do it. It can take you days, weeks, or even months to really develop a great outline for your story. And one thing that I was intrigued by was when you're done, like when you're done and hit your theme list and you get that written out, you basically wrote your story. You know, you just got to go in and add the details. It's super cool to see it unfold.
Let's talk about your class that you got coming up, and tell us the title of your class and matter of fact, just pitch it to us. Why should everyone join? Why should everyone join your class? And tell us the name of your class.
Okay, so it's the 28th, I think. That's what, 2 weeks away? I don't know. But next week or whatever. So I have a challenge, is what I'm calling it. It's called Plan and Plot Your Novel, and it's going to be a 10-day challenge. And you don't have to be there for all 10 days. If you think that you miss a day or something, you can always play catch-up. But it's a 10-day challenge where my pitch is to turn your thoughts and ideas into a book, even if you've never published. And what I am going to be doing in there, I have free workbooks in there, and we will be talking about how to organize your thoughts and ideas for your story. And my goal is to help you be able to get a well-developed first draft. And so we're going to talk about in the first week is mostly talking about genre-related things, how to find your audience, because you got to remember, as a writer, you're not writing for yourself. You are writing for your audience, the equation, and how to find the right, you know, the right book types and the right point of view that you want to do, because that stuff matters before you start writing. Because it's one thing to write a book in one point of view, and then you get halfway through the book and have to change the whole entire thing. Like, that's just kind of... That'll be a hard thing. And then, you know, we talk about self-editing and revision and stuff like that. And then of the second week, we actually go into the details of outlining. And I talk to you about the different things that I feel are important for you to know in the basis of an outline, beginner-friendly. And you will get my free outlining for beginning writers. It's a very beginner-friendly outline you can use to write any book that you want to write. And it's a free challenge that piggybacks off of my course that I already have on my coaching website. So,
and let me ask you a question. Will this be for all the people that attend it? Do they have to register? Will it be on Zoom Live? Like, where will it?
Okay, so it won't be on Zoom. I have it going back and forth. I want to do that this time around, but I'm not. It's going to be in my Facebook group. I got a Facebook group called Aspiring Author Writing Challenge, Writing Course Challenge, or whatever. So it's going to be in that group, and it's called, let me get y'all the exact Facebook stuff. Okay, the handler for that is Aspiring Author Writing Course, right? So if you can find that group, you can get in there. And it's a free group, of course, and it is not tied to anything, and it's free. And that's where the challenge is going to take place, inside of the group. Every day it's going to be 7 p.m. nightly.
How that going to work if it's in a group? I'm asking for myself. How that going to work if it's in a group? Because don't they got to register, and it's a fee for this, right?
No.
There's not no fee?
This challenge does not require a fee, no.
Oh, okay.
Not my challenge. My course does, but the challenge does not. The challenge is going to be inside of my free group. Inside of my free group that I have, it's going to be inside that group. And all you got to do is join. So even if you are not registered, I am letting you know in the group to register. The only thing is, once we start talking and discussing, if you don't have the booklets and the worksheet that we have, of course, you're following along, it's just going to be up in the air because you don't know what we're talking about. Because everything I'm going to be talking about is going to be based off of the sheets that I give you. And you can register for that and sign up for that. And you'll get the free workbooks now. Like, if you sign up now today, you get the workbooks for next Monday. You already have them.
Now,
have to look over.
Now, how do you sign up? You just go to your group. What's the name of it?
Let's see. It's Aspiring Author Writing Course. And you will see it says Aspiring Author Writing Course Group of 2022. You can go there and you can join the group. But to sign up, I do have a landing page for it. And the you can go to, let me see, I think I have it on my website. You can go to my website. It's going to be LaQuishaMalone.com. And let me see if I can get this link. And I thought I had this up for now, and I'm so sorry I don't. I do apologize. All right, so I don't have a Bitly link yet. I haven't even put that up yet. But it's if you are following on Instagram, you just click right there on the link in my bio. And it's LaQuishaMalone.com, and you can look at Plan and Plot Your Novel, The Challenge. So,
okay, that's going to happen. This is going to take place, you said, March the 28th, this month?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks. So we do Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Yeah, 7 p.m. nightly, and every night is a different day.
If that makes sense, like a different day.
Y'all hear that? So, one day we talk about one thing, and the next day we talk about something different. But no matter when you sign up throughout the program, you'll get access to all the stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, now. And so that's going to take place on March the 28th. So don't you have something about coaching coming up or something like that, like coaching classes?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so I do have coaching classes, and my first class I have on there is called Tell Your Story. It's a plan and plot course, and it kind of walks you through how to plan and plot your novel. The same type of thing I'm talking about in the free thing, it goes to more extent handheld type thing. And you get more workbooks, too. You get way more workbooks and things that can kind of help you walk you through it. I already got my first student, which is super, super, super exciting. And so far they were like, thank you. They were like, you know, oh my God, like I can't believe the things I've learned. I'm like, well, that's kind of what I want. You know, so that was pretty cool. And they're always telling me all the different things with each video that they're watching, with the workbooks, how it's helping them with their it would write in their story. So that's super, super exciting.
Oh, okay. Congratulations on that. And I want everybody to, you know, to check out LaQuisha Malone. But if they want to, before I let you go, if they want to get in touch with you or purchase your book, give them all your information, social media, everything, so they can reach out to you.
Sure. So my social media is LaQuishaMalone.com. Social media, Lord, that's my website. My website is LaQuishaMalone.com. But on social media, you can find me under any handler as LaQuisha Malone, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn. I don't care what it is. If you go to a page and find me under LaQuisha Malone, it's where I'll be. So just type my name in, LaQuisha Malone. So, yeah, I try to make it super, super simple.
Right, and it is simple. So if they want to purchase your book, they can go to your website if they want to.
Yeah.
Everything
you can
is on your website.
You can purchase it. Yeah, you can purchase from Facebook. You can purchase it from Instagram. I got it set up that way. So you don't, if you don't make it to my site, but we follow each other on other social media platforms, you can go straight to my store on either one of those sites, and you can still be able to purchase any of my stuff.
Before I let you go, I want to say one thing. Could you please, please let the authors know how important, or any entrepreneur, how important it is to have a website? Because, man, this lady was going back and forth, girl, about a website. Could you please let them know how important it is to have a website?
Okay.
With your brand?
Yes, ma'am. Look, I have struggled with that all my life. Well, not all my life. I struggled with that in the beginning of my career as well. But the best way to think about this, the only way to put this is, number one, once you're an author, you are now a business, period. Like, there's nothing else go behind that. You are a business. And as a business owner and operator, because the book is one thing, you're still a business. You need a place. And I tell people, your website is your home. Because you can be on social media. You can have a Facebook and try to sell things directly hand-in-hand and all that stuff. But you're missing out on broader readers. Because, and I'm going to tell you a quick example, I had a lady that I didn't know, I had a couple people I didn't know were following me, and what they did was they went and researched me. It was two or three different radio people. They went and researched who I was, had no idea they were following me.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to my website. Once I hit the website, that's when I was like, yeah, I got to get her on my show. So once they went to the website, and this is what they told me, once they had went to the website, got all my information off my website, they followed me on all my social media from my website, and then began to follow me and what I was doing. And then they contacted me and was like, hey, look, I've been following you for a while. I got to get you on my show. And they all did this little conference call, I guess. And that's how they both told me, and these are random different times of my career. And they all said the same thing. Like, when we saw you, the first thing we did was went to go research who you are. Your social media won't tell them that at all. So they're going to go look for that website. And then, especially in the day of time now, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, just pay. I'm going to send you a PayPal invoice, or just PayPal me, or just cash out me the money, and I'll send you a book. That's not legit. It's not business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with your website, you can use your website to do your purchases, to create your shipping labels. I had one girl, she was going to the post office to handwrite all her stuff. And I hooked her up with a website. I'm like, listen, let me help you. Let me hook you up. Hooked up with a website and showed her how to do it and then how to print off her labeling and all this good stuff. And she said, Quisha, this is so easy. I said, exactly. I said, but when somebody say, hey, I want to purchase your book, where do I go? Please don't send them to Amazon. You're going to tell them. You're going to go to my website. In my case, you're going to go to LaQuishaMalone.com. That's where you're going to go. You're going to find information about who I am. You're going to find information about my books. Here you can sign up to my emailing list where I can keep you updated on anything I'm doing or anything like that, right? And so it's important to have your own home, your own legit space that says this is mine, because I don't know how your audience is for as age-wise, but we used to have MySpace, and it was popular. But what happened to MySpace once Facebook took over? It went away. I lost a lot of followers back then. I mean, I had a good little following for my books back then. I lost them all and had to start over on Facebook. And, of course, a few of them like, oh, I remember you from MySpace. Girl, I've been looking for you. And I'm like, welcome, you know. But if I had my website, had a way for them to sign my email list, at least nothing else, I could have reached out to them and let them know, hey, you know, MySpace done went away, but, hey, you can find me here, right? Because that's me. That's my stuff. And those were my people. But no, that is MySpace's people. And if you're only trusting Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Twitter, that's their people. Those people aren't yours.
Right.
But when you send them to your website, have them sign up. Them are yours.
Right.
That's your audience, your people. So that's the best way I can put it. You need a legit way to handle your business.
That's right. On that note, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on Let's Talk to Podcast. I want to thank you for everything that you did for me, and you helped me out, and you gave me advice, for sure. You understand what I'm saying?
Same, you
for sure.
Me.
Right. So I want to just say thank you, and I want to thank the audience for being on Let's Talk to Podcast. Thank everybody, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And LaQuisha, you know we're going to talk. So,
oh, most definitely. No, I know that.
I'll talk to you later. All right. Thank
you,
please.
Bye, y'all.
All right, bye. All right. And I want to thank all my people for joining. And do come back next week, Wednesday, Thursday.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Talk 2 Podcast with author Sharnell Williams. Tune in next time every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to live, laugh, and love.